Welcome to the Yoga Teacher Business Foundation course, designed to help teachers finally nail their niche, grow their confidence and their business savvy, and generate a consistent income of £2,000 sterling or more a month teaching part-time. If you've found filling your classes and growing your community frustrating, you're in the right place. These podcasts are deliberately designed as bite-sized nuggets of information to help you move from struggle and frustration to a career which is not only emotionally rewarding, but financially too. Over the last three episodes of this podcast, I've been diving a little deeper into the whole topic of investing in support for your business so that you can focus on what you do best, teach. The common response to discussion about anything to do with paying out money when you're just starting out as a teacher may seem counterintuitive. After all, that's risking paying out for something that you're not sure at this stage is going to bring you a return on that investment. But if you are genuinely hoping that you can actually make a sustainable income that pays the bills, as opposed to a bit of pin money or even what I call an expensive hobby, then I genuinely encourage you to start thinking like a pro right from the start. Begin with the end in mind, as Stephen Covey in his book The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People would say. If teaching yoga is to be your profession, in inverted commas, if your end goal is being able to replace your current income from teaching yoga or to scale to running sell-out retreats or online courses, you have to start thinking and behaving like a pro from the beginning. So I do encourage you to listen to episodes 37 to 39, which aim to help you reflect on why effective delegation can actually make you more money and prevent burnout and disillusionment. Episode 39 reminded us of the three ways that you can invest in support for your business. First, in systems such as booking and payment systems, and processes such as how you onboard new students or the way you handle inquiries, etc. Secondly, in your own learning and development. Investing in you, in the skills and the knowledge that might present a gap that holds you back, is always worth considering. Episodes 26 or 17 deal with this topic in more detail, so again, do check those out. After all, how much have you invested so far in learning yoga? Did you want or hope that that investment would give you a financial return in some way? And if you did, has it actually delivered? Have you actually made a financial return on that investment yet? The point I'm trying to make here is that my bet is you've already paid out hundreds, if not thousands, of pounds into your yoga teacher training. And if you're not seeing a financial return on that investment, it's not an investment. It's a cost. Sure, it might be an emotional investment, an investment in your health and well-being, but that's not the same as a business investment. The third way of investing in your yoga business is in people support. And in episode 39, we looked at the importance of when to hire and some key tips that I've learned from experience about how to hire effectively. So, how do I outsource effectively? Where do I look to get help? I was quite clear from the beginning of my own yoga business journey that I didn't want to build a business with full or even part-time employees. My vision was for a simple business model, something that I could manage on my own without what I perceived to be the hassle of having to learn employment law. So, first, what is outsourcing? Quite simply, it's contracting and delegating out specific tasks, projects, or functions to an external company or an individual rather than handling these tasks yourself. The second question that arises from that is, where do I find these people? Well, there are a few places that you can look, and here's some of them. Try freelance marketplaces. I found my tech guy 20 years ago on exactly that kind of marketplace, and he's still with me 20 years later. At the time, that platform was called Student Gems, which does still exist, but not in the same format. It's now more expensive to hire through them. But here's just some of the options, very similar, that you could try. Upwork, which is one of the largest freelance marketplaces, offering just about every service and skill that you can imagine, from design, content writing, marketing support, and much, much more. Another platform that's really useful for freelancers is Fiverr, spelled F-I-V-E-R-R. Originally known for its diverse range of freelancers and offering services from as little as $5. Now, I have to say, it is rare that you'll find anything for that amount these days, but it is still worth exploring. Another one is freelancer.com, which is a site that offers a range of freelancers. Now, I'm not familiar with this one, but it's worth a little of your time during your research. Unitasker, UNITASKR, is a newer site that I've found, which functions a little bit more like Student Gems used to do, the site that I used 20 years ago. And that site allows you 5 postings within a month for just £29. That's definitely worth exploring. There are also social media platforms. It's worth doing some research. LinkedIn, Facebook groups might also be a source of potential help. Try asking for recommendations from fellow yoga teachers who have experience working with freelancers. Reach out to your local community, including yoga studios, to inquire about freelancers that are offering services, whether that's design, help with cover, or collaboration for running retreats. I learned about Student Gems, the service that I alluded to earlier, where I found my tech guy, Luke, from my very first mentor. Another example of where we don't know what we don't know, and where mentoring can provide some really useful information that can help us to get unstuck. And I've certainly spent some time looking up all the yoga teachers in my area when I first began, just to reach out, to introduce myself, to meet up, and to explore potential synergies and interests. So this is an important step, and it's worthwhile bearing these places in mind. However, before you actually hire someone, this next part is the most important piece of the process, and it's this. If I am going to outsource, how do I outsource in the most effective way possible? First, break the tasks down as a discrete unit. The more ring-fenced and discrete a task is, the easier it's going to be for you to outsource to someone else. The easier it is to set and manage expectations, and the less chance there is of misunderstanding. I suggest that you start by delegating one task, which is fairly straightforward, doesn't have a deadline to it, but it's something that would be really useful to get done, but you've just not got round to doing it yet. Try putting it on a platform like Upwork and see who responds. I do use Upwork because it can be extremely cost-effective. Many of the freelancers, not all of them, but many of them, live in the Middle East or Europe, and it is possible to get a task done for less than someone in the UK or the US might charge. And often, I will post a job on Upwork in the morning, wait a couple of hours to see responses, choose someone for the task that day or the next, and because of the time difference, when I come back to my desk the following day, that task might already be done. So it's a great way to accelerate the process and get things done. The beauty of it is this, that same person that you've given a task to, and if they do it well, you now have some reassurance about the quality of their work, so it can become the start of a longer relationship. Examples of discrete tasks might include such things as designing your logo. My Yoga Over 45 logo came from Luke and it cost me £10. Maybe you can get them to help you design professional-looking workbooks or handouts that you may want to use for retreats or for courses that you're about to run. Uploading your articles or your blog posts into your website and a link to your call to action so that the tech bit is done. Sorting the tech links, the back office tasks. For example, ensuring that all the links are correct for your opt-ins. Designing Facebook banners or flyers or newsletter templates. Although, here's one thing I highly recommend. Do not delegate the copy. See episode 39 for that. Use your own authentic voice. Do not delegate the copy to a freelancer. PowerPoint templates can be made by freelancers, though. All of these and more, you can find skilled people to do these tasks for you far more quickly than you could do on your own. And one other tip about using Upwork. When you choose someone, look for those applicants that have done lots of work already on Upwork, that have at least 4.5 or above in terms of stars and ranking, and they have good testimonials because they are the ones who care about doing good work. They're also the ones that you may go back to again and again, or who might fall into the next category, becoming a virtual assistant. Review and assess. Once the task is complete and you then have the opportunity to review and assess, it may well be that this person could be someone you would like to continue to do tasks for you in the future because they've done good work for you already. And that helps to build a longer-term relationship. As with all relationships, it's all about trust, and that works both ways. Get clear about whether you see this as a one-off task or something that you might want doing on a regular basis so that they can see they may have a longer-term opportunity with you and take it from there. Yes, this will take up a little time to begin with, finding and hiring someone, but it will save you time, frustration, and money in the long run. And it will free up your precious time to focus on what really matters, your teaching and growing the business. Done thoughtfully, just observing a few golden rules of hiring, you are likely to see money in the bank far more quickly when you begin to delegate. So I really do encourage you to consider whether you might be at the right stage of business to try delegating now. If any of this resonates for you, if you'd like truly practical support and guidance, not only to help with growth and delegation, but with building the foundations for a sustainable yoga business working part-time, then perhaps I can help. Over 12 weeks, I help aspiring yoga teachers understand how to build a profitable and part-time business that generates between £2,000 to £4,000 sterling regularly every month. Now, I know that's not megabucks, but here's the thing. Once you have a business model that works, that you feel reassured will continue to pay your bills, you've got the makings of something that you can scale up if that's what you choose to do. Or you could keep it as I do, as a nice little part-time income, doing something that is truly rewarding. So if you'd like to know more about how this 12-week mentoring and coaching program might help you, contact me direct at shona@fastmail.com. Seriously, I know I can help. Namaste. Thank you for listening. I hope you find these tips helpful. With over a decade of experience and into my 70s now, I'd like to think that I can help other yoga teachers find a rewarding career teaching yoga. I run a foundation training course in business skills for yoga teachers, designed specifically to give them a solid base and business savvy upon which they can build and scale up if they choose. If you're interested in learning more, drop me a line at shona@fastmail.com. Meanwhile, Do subscribe to the podcast. Let me know if you have any feedback or topics you'd like to listen to. And go out there and bring your yoga to the students that you were meant to serve. Namaste.